What up, y'all? Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth with Ray Nitty, Maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. This is hour two with the Lunch Break crew. We talking about the election. We talking about the difference between city government and county government. And Guru, you don't just get off the list. You don't just get to skate by say, oh, the mayor and the county exec holds hands on everything. No, that's not true. They don't hold hands on everything. I'm not going to sit here and let you just say that, Guru. You know better. And you pushing the narrative, all of that establishment, massa, all of that, exactly. Thank you for proving my point. Shannon, we got Jordan Roman, who is going to be my...
Hey, Jordan.
Hi, Shannon.
He's going
Maybe
to be
Shannon.
My next assembly representative, man. Jordan, how you doing, boss?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling blessed. A little bit tired, but all's good, man. Trying to get these last 24 to 36 hours and just feeling good.
You've been working hard, man.
Got to.
You've been working hard.
Got to.
I had family members that was like, Ray, you know this guy? He knocked on our door. Then I had somebody else. Ray, you know this? I'm like, yeah, that's a homie. Tell him, knock on my door. Then he put
He's
a
like,
sign out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, he put a sign out there for me, man. So it was good to see a familiar face.
Yeah.
Somebody I know give a damn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Somebody I know actually is authentic about the process. You gave me so much game when I ran for office. So I'm like, oh, shoot, this brother doing this? I'm like, we behind that. So, man, tell the people, the district you're running for. I know we shared it earlier, but, you know, give some people of the landscape that you're running in.
Yep. Well, first and foremost, thank you, Ray and maybe Shannon, for allowing me to come on the show. It's a great honor. I've been tuning in, listening to you guys since you started, since the changeover over The Truth. You guys are doing some phenomenal work. And at first, I was like, what's this song going to look and sound like? And I was like, that's Ray Nitty over there.
Right.
It's going to be, if anything, it's going to be fun. It's going to be informative. And it's going to be all good. But I'm Jordan Roman. If you guys don't know me, I'm running for state assembly for the 12th Assembly District, which is the northwest side of Milwaukee, which is basically the parameters of Capitol, 76 and up from Capitol to County Line Road, all the way to Menominee Falls, staggering up in between there. It's the far northwest side of town. We have a lot of issues, obviously, over there, a lot of lacking investment that we need to really do, housing issues, food deserts and all stuff. So it really encompasses a lot of the problems that we see in Milwaukee as a whole. But on the other side, there's a lot of potential. And what I think is there has been a lack of representation, at least from the state level, to really come up and advocate for that area, to really talk to the people, be present, be visible in their community, showing up and showing them that they have somebody who actually cares, to your point, about their lives, about their family's lives, about their future, who's going to actually work for them versus trying to do things for myself. So I'm excited, man. This is my first time running for office. I've been behind the scenes for a while. As you said, I helped you a little bit strategy on your run for alderman a couple times in there, just like laying out like strategy-wise what works and what doesn't work. So I remember those days and did some doors for you a couple times. So yeah. It was an honor to see you. Honestly, when you ran, I was like, if Ray can run, man, with all he's doing, his busy life and the notoriety he has, there's no reason for other people, like-minded people who really want to do the work and who feel like they can do the work, to step in. So there's no excuse. Lastly, on this point, I just wanted to say I wouldn't be running for this role if I didn't feel like I could make a difference. I could be doing a lot of different things, but I felt a calling. And again, I wasn't looking to do this. This is kind of something that through conversations and through a lot of prayer, I was led to this. And now that I'm in it, it's feeling really good. And I'm hoping to win tomorrow.
You got it, bro. I know my block got you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know my block got you. A couple of the neighbors came up and asked, like, who's the Jordan Roman guy? I was like, that's who we need.
Yep, yep.
I'm not saying nobody else's name, but I just felt that was very ineffective, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I refuse to say names of people I ain't supporting. So
I agree.
That the views, hit the button, the views and opinions expressed on this show is the views and opinions of Ray and Shannon only, not the views and opinions of Truth or Milwaukee Black Media. So as we continue, make sure we got that out the way. Shannon, I know you got some questions as well.
Fire away. Hi, Shannon. You're looking really nice there, too, by the way. I see you in the screen.
I know.
Shannon get all the compliments,
dog.
I shaved my face today, all kinds of stuff. I like, dang.
I said, hold on, man. So, speaking of issues in the community, what specific issues are important to you?
So, I can answer that a couple different ways. What's important to me, obviously, is making sure that our community has what they need as far as quality education, their kids having access to the best schools no matter where they go, no matter where they live. We have to do something about the reading crisis here. If I remember the numbers right, it's about 86% of our kids are not reading on a proficient reading level. So that's a crisis to me, and that means that decisions are purposely not being made on a statewide as far as investment to make sure that our kids have the success they need in the schools. Economic opportunity over in the Northwest side, you know, we are lacking investments around housing, around economic opportunities, around anchor job sites, a lot of different things in that area, which used to be a very prominent area with mm-hmm. Northridge, and there was a Target over there before, mm-hmm. and the restaurant. So yeah. there's been a lack of investment in that area. And I think that it requires, again, leadership that's really going to advocate for bringing some incentives or some investment back into that area. And then public safety has been a major, major issue over in that district. Our constituents or the people of the community over there, is a lot of diversity, a lot of elders, a lot of veterans who are just saying, hey, we don't feel safe in our streets anymore. There's a lot of crime, all the reckless driving, all these different things. So we have to address that. And one of the things I've been saying to address that is we have to start working collaboratively with our grassroots organizations and our local law enforcement to build transparency and trust to make sure that when things do pop off, because they will pop off, as we know, we have the system and the structure in place around mentorships from our elders and our veterans. What I would like to see is a collaborative initiative where we are bringing our youth around our seniors and our elders and our veterans so we can start bringing that mentorship and guidance back. And then obviously attacking things like mental health, getting some youth divergent programs out there to get our kids off the street so they have something constructive to do. So there's a gamut of issues, again, in the Northwest side is a microcosm of overall Milwaukee that we have to address. But I think first it starts with having somebody who, again, actually cares, who's showing up, who's present, who's interacting, engaging with the communities, hearing what they want to hear, and then doing the things on the state level that's going to help move the city forward.
Man, that was definitely. I got a test, Shannon.
Oh,
I got a test for Brother Rowe. Yep, I got a test. And
okay,
watch my point get proved. Watch my point get proved. You're running for assembly, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Wisconsin, Brother Roman, and this is very impromptu, and I'm willing to bet $100 this test is passed. Wisconsin is one of the worst places to raise black families.
Yeah, and then one of the best places to raise white families. Like, that dichotomy is crazy. Is that where you were going?
You need $100, Ray?
I don't even need to. He passed the test. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This next question. This is a two-part question, right? You finished the first part. What is your plan for black families in Milwaukee?
Look, so I'm a policy analyst by trade. So this is my first time in politics, and I hate to give you the gotcha answers. Like, oh, we need to mm-hmm. fix education. Okay. The mm-hmm. policy side of me is like, well, how do you fix education? Blah, blah, blah. Like, there's like a lot of drop downs and things like that. But my plan really is around these different things. Everything to me starts with fixing poverty and segregation in this city. That
hit the button, please.
That stems from everything.
Bing. Hit it again, please. Hit it again, please. Again, please.
Yeah, so we have institutionally and structurally ignored the problem of poverty within this city. And it's not specific to Milwaukee. It's pretty much every mm-hmm. urban city in America. Mm-hmm. But in Milwaukee, we have strategically and intentionally disinvested in abating poverty in the city. So what we first have to do is, what's the question? How do you fix poverty, right? The first thing is around education. We have to educate our kids, which means we have to create a quality educational system, mm-hmm. take the public and the charters and all that stuff out of the discussion for a minute. Let's fix the educational system. Let's reform education to make sure no matter
hit
where
the
our
button,
kids.
Please. Do you see what I'm saying, right? Somebody who's way
this
more.
This was impromptu.
I'm just the entertainer. This is somebody who's done political strategy. Yeah. And he didn't lead with, oh, we need to fully fund public schools. No. He said, we need to reform.
The whole school
first.
System. Yes.
Continue, Jordan.
So
why I'm voting for Jordan Roman.
Vote for Jordan. But it takes that. So you can't eliminate poverty unless you educate the masses of people. And if majority of our kids are going to a public school system, that means we have to invest more resources. And I do agree to your point. I am going to say we do need to fully fund our public schools, but the question has to be, how do we do that and what does that look like, right? So we have to reform the entire educational system, and we have to acknowledge that our kids are lacking in reading and math. So we have to do something that's going to boost that overall up, because then that's going to lead to a better labor market opportunities, right? If we educate our system or our youth and our communities, then they're going to be more marketable for jobs out there. And when people talk about in Milwaukee, we have this deficit of job availability because we don't have the skill sets. Why aren't we aligning the educational system with the jobs of today and tomorrow and making sure that our kids have access to learn the different things that are going to be prepared for the jobs of today and tomorrow? Like, that's a system to me, right? And if we do that, then we talk about the after effects of that. If you educate your community and you get them jobs and you get them prepared for jobs, then we could start talking about home ownership. Then we could start talking about economic and opportunities in small business and entrepreneurship. Then we could start talking about emerging developers coming in and bringing more economic development to those areas. So everything works together. And what I hate about politics has been is that we do these one-liners and these through lines, and we think that one issue is going to fix everything. No, we have to fix poverty. We have to fix education. We have to stabilize the community with housing. We have to get anchor jobs into these communities to get people to have jobs to do those different things. And I look at it when I'm really looking at across the county. And when we look at Eau Claire and West Allis and Oak Creek and all those different things, what's common about those different areas is that each one of them has one or two or even three anchor jobs there. And they're not these high, you know, you're not going to make $200,000. These are middle class, working class jobs, and they're providing incentives and they're providing skills for those communities to have those jobs. So to me, I say that is intentional investment in those areas, which is not happening here in Milwaukee as on a scale that it needs to happen. So as a state legislature, what I want to do is build those relationships and advocate for educating our kids, bringing these job corps back into our communities, getting our workforce prepared for tomorrow and today, but tomorrow, and thinking about the future of what the city of Milwaukee is going to look like. I mean, we have to prepare our kids. And then lastly, to bring it all real circle, then that eliminates public safety issues. That eliminates the kids and young adults in the streets not having anything to do, right? That eliminates all the byproducts of the things. So we have to look at strategic investment in these core areas, poverty and education first. Then we look at jobs, then we look at public safety, then we look at the mental health crisis, then we all these different things, and everything works together. And as a policy analyst, I think that's what I bring to the legislature, someone who has good knowledge of what the whole system looks like versus just saying, hey, we need to fully fund our public schools.
Can we get like a round of applause or something for that?
Seriously.
I love when somebody comes and articulates the thing that I've been preaching in such a way that it's easily palatable for people to understand. Because sometimes I get passionate, bro, and, you know, I say it the way the entertainer would say it. You feel me? And, you know, sometimes it goes over people's heads. We talking about Jordan Roman here. I know we don't want to take away from that, but make sure y'all vote for bro. I'm actually going to knock on my neighbor's doors again for you, bro, and make sure we get the word out some more. But I think the thing that stood out the most to me when I asked that question, and I've asked numerous people this question that support other candidates, and, you know, I get all the tagline responses. The first thing you said, and I feel like this should have been everybody's first response. The first thing you said is poverty. Then you start listening to all the byproducts that came of it. How do we address poverty? Because what good is fully funding the NPS if the family's poor and the kids ain't even thinking about leaving the household?
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue, you know. Look, I'm fortunate. I grew up in a family, very supportive. I had a good, stable family. You know, we didn't lack. We wasn't rich at all, but we didn't lack for some of the basic needs. But the reality is a lot of our kids don't do that. So when you're talking about funding an education system, again, which we need to do, I'm not saying we don't need to do that, but you have to look at our kids are coming into these schools hungry. They are dealing with trauma, mental health issues, stuff that's happening at home. There's a lot of stuff that's happening at home that our kids are going through. So no matter if you put them in the best school ever, whatever created, you can put them in the best private school you want to, in the best NPS school you want to, but if they're still going home and they're dealing with trauma and poverty and some of those different things, then that's not going to create stability in that person, in that young child, and that kid is not going to be able to focus in school. So yes, we need to do all those different things, but we have to address what's keeping the attention, what's keeping our kids from not being able to perform at the level they're performing with. And to me, again, I believe it starts with poverty again and then not intentionally stabilizing the communities to where we needed to go.
Don't go anywhere, you all. This is the Lunch Break with Ray Nitti, maybe Shannon. And we got Jordan Roman on live with us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere.
Hey. Make sure you get out here and vote. This election ain't a joke. I'm just here to let you know. Make sure you get out here and vote, for real. Make sure you get out here and vote. This election ain't a joke.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. This is the Lunch Break with Ray Nitti, maybe Shannon. DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. Shouts out to the chat, man. The chat is very active today. Somebody said, look how if Francesca win, Crowley will support her if he loses because Tom Tiffany the real problem. No, she don't want no establishment support. Why would she want? She shouldn't accept this. Why would she want this establishment support in her, guru? Why y'all want this? She got it. She got it, right?
I feel this is going to
She got it. What she need the establishment for?
Yeah.
Why would he get behind her? The establishment was so bad. Everybody hate the establishment until it's their time to get in line.
Yeah, until it's time to become the establishment. Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Respectfully, you know what? I'm going to leave bro out of this. He out the race. I ain't even going. But I will say the same establishment was pushing to get bro over the line against Ron Johnson.
You feel me knocking?
I feel you.
Well, let me in.
Cool. But we ain't talking about them. We talking about Jordan Roman, who's bringing a lot of great energy and ideas to the 12th Assembly, correct?
Yep.
Shannon, you got some more questions. Go ahead before I get to doing too much.
So I think we've heard a lot about like what makes you different, but I want to hear from you. What do you think makes you different from the others running?
Thank you for the question. So I'm only running against, so I'm challenging the incumbent. We're not going to say the name because
not
we
at
want
all.
People to vote for know the name for the moment. But there's three core areas that I feel differentiate me from him. The first one is this person has been in this office now for a couple years, has been in a county supervisor, you know, so has some experience. But what stands out the most is, which is one of the reasons why I ran, this person has not been active in the community. He hasn't built the relationships. He hasn't been visible. When I'm knocking on doors, people don't know his name. And for somebody who's been in public office for 6, 7, 8 years and no people don't know your name, that tells me that you haven't done the legwork to get out in the community to make yourself known, to build those relationships with the organizations. Like, I'm building relationships with the grassroots organizations, with the local police department. He does know the police department, so we're not going to get into that. But building the on the ground with the community and building those relationships so that people know me and know that I care, and that I'm working on their behalf. The second issue really is around like authenticity. I'm a Democrat and I tell people that nothing against, you know, Republicans. That's not my politics. But I am a progressive Democrat, which means that I believe in moving things forward, you know, and I stand on that. And what I've learned early on was this particular person who is in that office, changed his affiliation from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party to run for that seat in the first place, which means that he is not being true to his core convictions of who he is and representing something falsely to the community. And if you're going to do that, stand in it. If you're going to be a conservative Democrat or just a conservative at all, then by all means, put that out there and give and be honest with your people so that they can make a decision that they think is going to reflect them. And he hasn't done that, and I don't think he's done that at all. So what I, that second piece is, I bring true progressive, even let's take Democrat and Republican out of it, because I'm a millennial and I really don't subscribe to party politics, because in my estimation, both parties have contributed to where we are nationally and locally. And we get into the conversation around Republicans have been in control. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So there's only so much the Democratic Party could do. But that said, I believe that we need to challenge the status quo on both sides of the political aisle, because they both could contribute to where we are right now. Right. So real, authentic, courageous, bold leadership from somebody who's going to be not only present, but it's going to challenge the Democratic Party to become more progressive in what they're doing to move the state forward. And then the last thing, and I kind of alluded to it, was I've spent my career building relationships in my career. I didn't do a rundown of my career yet. If I have time, I will in a little bit. But my career has been around executive and nonprofit leadership, building the coalitions on a community level with the leaders in the community, with the grassroots organizations, building those coalitions to talk about innovative solutions to issues around housing, around healthcare, around education, all those different things that are in my platform. I have experience doing that. I am going to run down my experience.
Come on,
just,
man.
Just because, right?
Pop your stuff, man. Come on,
because,
man.
Because I feel like people get into politics and they want these seats, but they don't come in with, you know, the experience needed to actually do the job, right? Right? Like, I hate campaigning. I'm not supposed to say that. But what I'm looking forward to is legislating and doing the actual work of legislating, right? And I think a lot of politicians are adverse. They in that reverse. They like the campaigning but don't really like the job, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. what I want to dang, I lost that train of thought. My career. So my experience has not been in politics. So real quick. So after grad school and even grad school, public policy and public administration, that's what I studied. Right. So right there, I'm trained as a policy analyst. And my job, literally my first job after grad school, was in the health department as a policy analyst for the public health department. Right. So looking at the Affordable Care Act and looking, dumbing it down, for lack of a better word, and saying organizations, if you're going to apply and buy into this program, here's what you can and can't do, and here's how it impact your organizations. That was my first job at a grad school. Then I went to Wisconsin Community Services, started out as a representative payee, moved up every ladder, ultimately becoming the supervisor of financial services. So I dealt with entitlement benefits, benefit entitlements, right? Money management, med management, all that different stuff. Then I went into corporate insurance for 7 years, and I ultimately became the senior director of operations, right? And then in 2020, you know, going through a lot of stuff personally, left my cushy corporate senior director of operations job, and like, I just can't do this right now. So I got an opportunity to start consulting. And my first consulting job or gig was with the Greater Milwaukee Urban League, for which I was the president a couple years before that, the Greater Milwaukee Urban League Young Professionals. So I got an opportunity to consult there with the team of other organizers to build the Reclaim the Vote program, which, if you remember, in 2020, we registered over 250,000 mm-hmm. people in the city of mm-hmm. Milwaukee, and we won that election for mm-hmm. Joe Biden. I like to say I was a part of that core team with the Greater Milwaukee Urban League who got the community out and registered to vote so that we can win that election that year. And from that experience, I got all kind of opportunities to do other different things. I worked with P3 Development. Shout out to Janine Edwards and Dominique Samari. P3 Development, I was a junior consultant. They taught me the whole game to the point that I started my own consulting firm. So I got into strategic planning, racial equity work, a lot of different things, board operational stuff, like a lot of different things. And then I left there and I went to Common Bond Community, which is a housing organization. I was a director of outreach and community engagement and fundraising. So I learned how to fundraise, which helps here, but I also learned about community engagement and helping the community raise money and awareness around affordable housing. And then I became the area director for the Boys and Girls Club. So now I have youth development experience from an operational standpoint. And then my most recent job has been as the chief operating officer for Educates Wisconsin, which is a behavioral health organization here in Milwaukee, right? So I say that to say, politics aside, I have executive, nonprofit, corporate experience, again, building these coalitions and working, making decisions that are going to bring solution to our communities. And I bring all that experience to someone who I feel will be a fantastic for for me tooting my horn, a fantastic legislator for the times that we're in now. And so whoever wins the governorship, they're going to need legislators who are advocating and working on their behalf or working to push a progressive agenda forward. And we need people who have that experience to do that inside of politics and outside of politics.
Hey, man, I just got to read some stuff from the chat, man. The people love you, man. Cat said, correct, Jordan. Cat said, how refreshing, very impressive. Good luck on your election win.
Thank you, Cat.
Young Money said, he talking that talk. And these are people that was, they being nice to you.
Look.
That was just on my case. So I know it's authentic.
That's because I'm new. I haven't said anything crazy
yet. One thing our truth family going to do is they ain't going to just agree with me because I'm on the mic. You feel me? So for them to say that, I know they really picking up what you putting down. So Cat and Young Money, I appreciate y'all sending them that energy. Shannon, I know you got another question for him.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to know what other things on the ballot should people be paying attention to?
That's a great question.
For the ballot coming up tomorrow, so we have obviously our governor's race. So I'm not making any endorsements right here other than saying that I'm going to go with who I feel is the most qualified of all the candidates. And I believe there's really only one person who has the most qualifications running a governing body at this time. There's a lot of stuff, and honestly, there's a lot of stuff. Supervisors, legislators. You know what? I have been so inundated with my own campaign, and I did take a glance at that long ass. Can we cuss that long ass ballot? I honestly don't know what else is on there, but there's a lot of stuff on there, and I could pull it up on my MyVote and get you there. But there's a lot. And if you go to myvote.gov, you can actually pull a sample ballot to see everything that's on your ballot. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know everything that's on there. There's a lot of stuff on there for this election. But for the following election in November, what I really want to do is people that have to start paying attention to the referendum around the making DEI initiatives unconstitutional.
That's in November.
That's in November. That's not going to be on this upcoming election.
Appreciate that clarification.
That's not going to be in that on this coming up tomorrow. But we need to start focusing our attention on what that actually means for our community. If they make it unconstitutional in the state of Wisconsin for us to not have any programs that are going to work on behalf of impacted communities around racial discrimination, historic racial discrimination, then we're going to be a lot worse than we are. So we have to start paying attention to that. We have to be ready to combat that because, you know, if Sherrin Hughes would say, you know, we live in a 80% white state, right? And we don't know how that's going to vote, but there's a high propensity that because of the way it's worded too, that people might be who might vote for that, not knowing what it really means, which is a negative impact on populations, communities of color here in Wisconsin. So we have to be aware of that.
Brother Guru said, keep fighting the good fight, Mr. Roman.
Thank you, Brother Guru.
He also asked, I ain't even going to go put
let's
you on
do it.
I don't think, nah, don't, you can't fall for
Guru. Okay, okay, I'm going to listen
Guru
to
Guru be setting people up, nah.
Damn it, Guru.
I ain't even going to make you.
I'm having fun.
Because you might disappoint him too much. You might disappoint him too much. He going to switch on you, start calling you establishment or something like that. So, but no, man, we definitely love the energy that Brother Jordan Roman is bringing, and I could personally attest, I know people don't care what the entertainer says, but I actually live in the district, and I have seen him, my family has seen him, neighbors have seen him numerous times, and I haven't seen the incumbent once, not even when the incumbent first ran. So that's just me being 100% honest. Guru, I'm telling you, this ain't the truth you want. Your feelings going to be hurt, Guru. It ain't your person. It ain't your person you think it is. But don't go anywhere, y'all. This is Truth 1017 on you with Ray Nitty and Maybe Shannon.
Don't go anywhere.
Too hard for the radio. Too hard for the radio. Yeah, too hard for the radio. Too hard for the radio.
What up, y'all? What up? What up? What up? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 103.7 The Truth. This is a lunch break with Ray Nitty and Maybe Shannon. Brother Z looking at me like, what the hell was that, Ray? I know. It's a remix! Shannon, I got something on the menu today real quick. Looking to discover and support local business in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is. Powered by We Energies, each week you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is and where they're located and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. Shouts out to Jordan Roman. He powering local communities forward.
Yo, yo.
No, that's right.
Straight up.
Thank you, Shannon. Maybe Shannon.
Thank you, thank you.
Man. Jordan,
yes, sir.
What you want to share with the people? The floor is yours, man. What you want to share?
What I want to share? Well, obviously, I want to share, if you live in the 12th district between those parameters, again, above 76th Street, basically, and then and the top end of Brown Deer. So if you are on 60th and Brown Deer between County and Dean Road and up, between that and then Capitol County Road all the way to Miami Falls, please get out and vote. Check out my webpage. If you like what you're hearing, what I'm saying right here, most of this is in my platform at roman4wi.com. You can check me out. You can sign up to knocking some doors, meeting to rest of today or tomorrow, getting people out to vote. But I need you guys to get out and vote. Another thing is tomorrow, since we're making an announcement, I'll be having or hosting a primary night watch party at the Riley's Lounge on 80th and Capitol. Okay. So shout out to Derek Riley and those guys. My uncle over there owns the bar. So we'll be there, hanging out there after. I probably won't be out there until like 7:38 because I'll be on doors all day getting people out. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. And then I also want to shout out, I'm just one of many candidates that are running for this office right now, State Assembly, across the city of Milwaukee, across the state. There are some phenomenal candidates running for State Assembly right now. You guys just had LaWanda Chambers on your show, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. She is super, 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 super dope. A mental health professional. She's really committed. Her and I just had a conversation. We talk regularly. Like, we out here working. We already talking about how we gonna come in and flip the script on everybody and start to get the party moving. But there's a lot of other candidates in the state assembly that we need to start talking about. And it gets overlooked in this election because obviously who our next governors around the vision and their strategy for moving the state is very, very important. But they can't move any of their agenda without a legislature that's going to help them move those bills. Again, the governor, if you guys don't know, doesn't create the law, he or she creates a vision and they create the overall strategy. But the legislature, the state assembly in the state of Wisconsin, is who creates those laws and is responsible for the allocation of resources. So you have to have progressive. And again, when I say progressive, I'm not saying Democrat, Republican. I'm saying progressive as in wanting to move the city and the state forward. We're progressing. You know, conservative of me is retaining something that's old and conserving something that's true, you know, what it is. When we're talking about progressive, we want to move the country, the city, the state from where we are today and looking future focused on tomorrow. So look at those other candidates on your up and down your ballot for assembly. You know, LaWanda Chambers, I believe she's Assembly District 61. I just want to shout her out because that's my girl. And if we get in, we going to cause some problems for sure. But it's good trouble that's needed. So, I think that's what I have for right now. I mean, I don't know.
I got something else for you.
Okay.
I got something else for you. You hinted towards it. You said, you know, they need an assembly to get things through. I got a question for you. How important is track record of getting things actually done as an elected official?
Yeah.
How important is it? And especially if you want to raise to the probably highest office in the state.
Yeah, it's very important. It's in the campaign season, this primary, we're mostly talking about politics right now. Mm-hmm. I think people misconstrue politics for governance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the governor, county executive, our mayor, you know, in the legislature, the common council, we're responsible for governing our city, governing our localities. Like, so that's actual work that is separate and different from politics. Mm-hmm. Politics to me is a sales show. I'm trying to sell the best version of myself in order to get elected. But now you have to do a job once you get elected, mm-hmm. which means that you now have to have the experience in building relationships across the aisle. Wisconsin is a purple state. It's a purple state. Mm-hmm. We can go through who was elected in different levels, but Wisconsin has historically been a purple state, which means that we have to find bipartisanship to do that. I love the ideological fights we're having, you know, or debates we're having right now, because I think that it's making us, as a progressive entity, as a Democratic Party, is making us think differently how we do things. Progress, right? That's mm-hmm. progressive, right? Thinking differently and innovative about the future. But you have to be able to govern. You have to be able to come in and build the relationships. You have to compromise. I think that part is getting overlooked in this whole fight right now, is when you get into that office, you're going to have half of your, even if we do get a trifecta, we're still going to have basically 50-50 split Republican Democrat. So we're going to have to work together if we're going to get anything done. And what I'm sick of is the politics where we're not getting anything done because everybody's on their fringe positions and they're not working the solutions, right? And I like to think of things this way. We need to start getting back to working inside out. And right now the politics is having us work outside in with the fringes on the loudest voices in both sides of the party. We have to start working outside in to start getting to the issues and solutions that matter to most of us. Most of us want our kids, send our kids to a good school. Most of us mm-hmm. want a good house or want to be able to afford a house. We're not talking about a free house or whatever, like all this free, right. all that stuff. Most people want an affordable lifestyle so they can send their kids to college, send their kids to school, have a vacation every once in a while, enjoy the fruits of their labor, right? We have to tackle the affordability crisis. And if we don't come up with solutions that are going to attack those things that everybody tends to agree on first, mm-hmm. and then start getting to the peripherals and talking about those different things, we're going to be in the same position that we're in right now. And I'll tell you what, and this is going to, I'm not going to be somebody who's going to stay in office just so that I can stay in office to say I'm here and not working on solutions that are not going to get things done and move the city forward.
Man.
Somebody said that's a loaded question.
Yeah. You see it. I see it in the chat too. So he can see the chat. He can see the chat.
I just saw. I was like, okay.
I have the comments. We got to start adding the comments from the
guru. Said objection. Leading the witness. Oh man, we got one more question before we let you go, Shannon, sneak it in.
So if this can be answered quickly, thank you, because we do have to go to break. But we wanted to know what your thoughts were on eliminating the choice program. I feel like that's a...
Yeah, you're going to give me... Look, I...
should we do it when we come back?
It's y'all show.
All right, let's come back. We'll answer.
I mean, I can do
back.
It. I mean,
we'll do it when we come back. We'll do it when we come back.
That's what I was like. We yeah. got 1 minute. It feels like a not 1 minute question.
Right. Don't go anywhere, y'all. We'll be right back with more of the Lunch Break with Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon after these
don't
messages.
Don't
I got old cash spazzing on the ass. I got Prada on my ass. Got my lab with me popping like a damn tag. Shopping on the ass. I just bought a new old jet. Yeah, it's so fast.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. This is the Lunch Break with Ray Nitti, maybe Shannon, DJ Brother Z holding us down with the production and sound. I got something else on the menu, Shannon. This is the last little thing we got, though. But Milwaukee, mark your calendars. Join us for Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family, featuring great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful school year. Interested in volunteering? Visit the Truth's Family website at truthfamilyfest.com to complete the volunteer form, or by emailing cierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the whole family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, Truth Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Core, what? And Ascension. All right, y'all.
Why would they write that like that?
So y'all get the message.
That's like that movie. What is that?
Anchorman.
Anchorman. Just read the script. Read the script.
I ain't Ron Jeremy. Oh man. Oh man.
Burgundy.
Ron. What I say? Jeremy.
Yeah.
Burgundy. Yeah. You know, I'm 42 years old. Movie, man. Chill out.
Different.
Wait a minute. You just found what'd out. I say?
Oh, damn.
That's, I mean, hey, what's.
Hey,
what's,
hit the.
What's going
the,
on here?
Hit the dump button.
Like you standing it's too late for that.
I don't even think they caught what I said. Y'all caught what I said?
I was laughing.
Just
so I
don't even don't respond right. to that, bro. You're doing a great job today.
Now I gotta play this back.
Don't get caught up in my mess, please, please. Yo, Zach, don't miss nothing, dog. Okay, we asked you a pretty heavy question. It's heavy on people's mind right now. I would love to know your thoughts on it. I think you. You kind of answered it a little bit, but now this is a little more direct form, direct. Is it?
Yeah, I honestly don't think it's that heavy. Here's the stats.
Okay.
And thank you to some of those organizations. There's a lot of organizations who are in this space, in the education space in general, who are doing this. But here's the stats. In the city of Milwaukee, 50% of our students are in charter and choice schools, of our black students.
Mm.
So when we look at the net decrease in the enrollment
56% of our black students.
Shout out to Dr. Kenny. He's always like, have the facts and have the data. So I've been really jumping into the data around, especially in my district. But the reality is 56% of our students in the city of Milwaukee, black students, are enrolled in a non-traditional charter or choice school, which is a non-traditional public school. Now, on one hand, again, we need to invest in our public schools. We have to make sure that they have the capital they need and the resources they have to do that. But the reality is, when I'm walking on, talking on doors and my families are saying, hey, I can't afford to wait until the public schools get it together. Mm. My kids are in school right now. I have to be able to send my kids to where I feel is the best opportunity for them to have the best quality education right now. So it's two things can be true. We need to invest in our public schools, but we have to have options, which is what it is. In a cap, let's break it down this way. In a capitalist society, we have a free market exchange, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? So a choice is nothing but free market capitalism for all our conservatives and people out there. When you look at the school system that way, it's providing options and parents having the choice to send their kids and their families to the best option that they feel is going to send their kids to the, give their kids the best opportunities to succeed in life. So we, until we fix, or as we are fixed, not until, as we are fixing our public school system and getting the resources that has been disinvested in our schools from the state level. So it's, again, it's important to have legislators who are understand the importance of fully funding our public schools, but we have to at the same time make sure that parents have options to do that, because once we get to a point down the line when parents feel that if my neighborhood public school is the best school for me, and we get to that point, then that's the choice that their kids, their mm-hmm. families are going to make. But until we get there, I'm 42 years old. Like you said, we've been having the same issue with our public school system, not in just in Milwaukee, across the state. We've been having the same issues for 42 years. I'm only going to speak to 42 years that I've been alive. We've been having the same issues,
mm-hmm.
right? So that, to me, is not a failure on our teachers and our public school workers and our teachers. They're great, phenomenal. We even have some really, 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 really great schools. But as a system, you know, as a financing system, as we look at reforming a school system, we have to do it in a way that's going to do and make sure that the whole system is in. I'll just say this last thing. I was talking to a very good person who I think is brilliant, Dr. Howard Fuller, and he advised me to think of education this way. Think of the educational system as a delivery system, right? So you have this umbrella of a delivery system. And you have these different components. You have your public schools and your charters and your choice and your non-traditionals, all these different things, right? They all operate under the delivery system. So when you, if you're an executive, like we're looking for in a governor, you have to look at things as a CEO and look at the whole system and say, if it's a delivery system and I have a deliverable that's going to get everybody across the board, the public schools is one mechanism in the delivery system. The charter school is one mechanism. The choice school is one mechanism, all these other things. So we have to fix each and make sure that each system, each cog is efficient and effective so that we can move the entire delivery system together. So to answer your question, I do support that public funding our public schools, but we have to keep that choice open for our choice and charter schools.
Man, y'all, Jordan Roman. Jordan Roman, tell them which district again.
District 12, northwest side of Milwaukee.
Northwest side, once again, that's like over by Vinson area, yep, if Vince, you're in that yep. area.
Good Hope, Silver Spring, Hampton, Dean Road, Brown Deer, all those different things, all those different words.
Shannon.
Look, I think I just got you a household vote. 107th in Hampton, you said.
Yeah.
Got a whole house of people for the go vote.
Yep, yeah. Above 76 in Hampton, that's all me right there. So. Yeah.
See, Shannon was texting me go. Like, is that one? Is 107th in this district?
Absolutely.
I was like, I got some for yep. Shannon, what's up today?
Give us the final thought, Shannon. Wrap us up, and then I got a quote of the day we'll close out with.
No, I just want to thank you for coming out and talking to us, Jordan. Do you want to go ahead and give us your social media platforms where they can find you?
Yes, ma'am. So
that
first,
website again as well.
RomanFordWI.com, RomanFordWI. You can hit my handles on all social medias at Jordan Roman for State Assembly or RomanFordWI. It's one of those two on IG, all the different platforms. So you can hit me up and check me out again. Vote, 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 Wisconsin, Milwaukee. We have to get out in numbers. As a black collective, we hold the power. We just have to utilize and leverage that power. We can move this city forward.
Man.
Man.
I think this was
Look,
super
I
refreshing.
From you.
This was super refreshing. No, Shannon, you got it. I just got a quote. Close us out, Shannon. I'm just the entertainer.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to the Lunch Break here on 101.7 The Truth. Like we said before, don't go anywhere. We got Manon with the Grapevine, and then we have Jazzy with the Tap In at 7 o'clock, I believe. Make sure you guys don't go anywhere. Follow Ray Nitti at RayNitti, and follow me, maybe Shannon, across all platforms. Make sure you head over to our Facebook page and follow us at The Lunch Break. Ray, what's the quote of the day?
Give light and people will find a way. Ella Baker.